Well, that's who you are. That's what you are to God. He protects you. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, I gave you a handout. Did everybody get one? Okay. We'll look at that in just a minute. But as I begin tonight to share these things with you, I want to give you some more information and instruction on fasting. And Marvin did a wonderful job, and we'll put that message up so you can download that if you want to. But there's a whole lot to this, and I want you to get as much of it as you can get, because faith, without it, it's impossible to please God. Faith moves the hand of God. Not fasting. Faith. We're going to find out what fasting does. But you better have faith in the fast. You better have some information here or some word coming into you, so that you can make the commitment to that fast and stick with it. Because if you're just fasting to do without food, all you're going to do is get very hungry and lose weight. It is... Now let me say this very slowly so you get it. It is fasting and prayer. It is fasting and worship. It is fasting and praise. Not fasting alone. Because if fasting is alone, it's just a diet. It's just another way. Now don't get me wrong. It will have some physical benefits. Because a lot of people are in the shape that they're in. I'm talking about physically now. Because of the way they eat. Any medical doctor will tell you that most of your condition is by your diet or by the way you have eaten. There's very little that cannot be cured, very little that cannot be cured through proper diet and exercise. So when we talk about fasting, there is a spiritual aspect and there is a physical aspect. Now, we want both. I said we want both. We're not here just to do Weight Watchers. We're spiritual walkers. Amen. Amen. We walk in the Spirit, praise God, with the Spirit of God upon us. But we've got to have some understanding, right? We've got to have understanding of what we do. We've got to be taught to do things as a Christian. Because the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, without knowledge we perish. Amen. So let me give you a few things tonight. First of all, there's two categories, or what we call two general kinds of fasting. There is the personal fast, and there is the proclaimed fast. Say it with me. Personal fast and proclaimed fast. Now, we have proclaimed a fast. The fast must be proclaimed. In fact, would you look at the scripture again in Joel chapter 1 and verse 14? Here's an example of them calling a solemn assembly. That means the church. That means if you're part of the church, you were required to be there. Now, we live in modern days and we don't make people do anything. But in those days, you just obey. Now, there's a purpose for doing a proclaimed fast. Let's read the scripture. It says what? Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred or a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants. Say all the inhabitants. That's all of them. That's women, children, sons and daughters, and priests and kings and all those things. It says, and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God. And what? And what? Cry out to the Lord. Now, I want to make this point very clear. I'm going to give you some things here. First of all, you do not fast to impress God. Amen. Some people think if they fast long enough and punish themselves, that will move the hand of God, or God will be impressed to do something for you because you fast long enough. That's the way some people think. But the fast is not to change God. It is to change you and I. Sometimes situations arise that we need divine direction. We need divine direction for this year. We have proclaimed a fast. Now, the reason, let me say this. A proclaimed fast is for the purpose of bringing believers together into the place, or into a place like this, for the purpose of hearing God. Now listen to what I just said. A proclaimed fast is for the purpose of bringing believers into a place of hearing from God. Why? So we can all move in the same direction. So we can all be pointed towards God. Do you understand the modern church is so segmented, so divided? Some come Sunday, some come Wednesday, some come when they want to. Some don't want to come on any other day but Sunday, and they want to be out of here by noon. You can't get everybody together. How in the world can you get the church in a one direction with a mindset on God? Only through fasting. The purpose of a proclaimed fast over a personal fast is to get the church in one direction. It's to get us moving towards God so God can speak to us. Some of you are going to have trouble putting down the purpose of your fast. You know why? Because you don't know what to fast for yet. So we fast to find out what we need to pray for. We fast in order to find out what we need to ask. I know y'all sitting out there, high IQ, smart selves, think you know everything, but you don't. And neither do I. We need to give God the opportunity. There you go. To speak to us. Now, how's it going to come? Well, now let's look at this. In second, let me show you an example, a sample of this, okay? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, let me show you this. Because the main reason that a proclaimed fast brings results is that it causes the people's minds to go in one direction. Did you hear what I just said? It causes our minds to go in one direction. Because I'm up here, I'm looking at you. I mean, hey, I know what it is to be out there too. I know what it is to try to concentrate and get in one direction. And if we're not going in one direction, we're going in how many directions? Bunches. Different, okay? Here's a people that were fixing to be attacked and annihilated. Now, we've read this many times, but I wanted to read it again because it's a proclaimed fast. You know why they proclaimed the fast? You want to know why? How many of you want to know why they proclaimed the fast? Because they didn't know what to do. It says it right there. They didn't know what to do. So don't feel bad when you don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, fast and pray. Amen. At least have enough smarts to fast and pray. instead of trying to figure it out in your, you know, your lightning fast mind that got you in the jam anyway. Well, here's what it says. Let's read here. Let's read verses 1 through 6. It says, it happened after that that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to a battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. In other words, here comes the armies. Here comes the armies of Syria. And they are in Hazan and Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Well, he shouldn't have been in fear, right? Because fear and faith can't operate in the same arena. But he did do something wise. He set himself. Now, that's what you're doing tonight. You're setting yourself to get yourself to hear from God. Now, what happened? It says, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. In other words, everybody come into the house. We're going to proclaim a fast because we are fixing to take on a severe attack. And we will be defeated if we don't know what to do. And we don't know what to do, so we're going to seek the Lord. And the way we're going to seek the Lord is we're going to proclaim a fast. And Judah gathered together, asked help from the Lord from all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the court. And if you come on down to verse 14, what's happening? They're in the fast. They're in the solemn assembly. They're seeking God. They're praying to God. They're crying out to God. Now look what happens. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jezreel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, and a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. Now what happened was, the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody, remember? Now, who was the leader? Jehoshaphat was the leader. But I want you to notice something. The Spirit of the Lord didn't speak to Jehoshaphat. It spoke to somebody in the congregation. Somebody in the congregation heard from God because of the proclaimed fast. And what did God say? And God said, do not be afraid. He said, and listen, verse 15 tells us, listen, all of you Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. They needed to hear a word from God, and they received a word from God, and God gave them specific instructions so that they would know how to go out and understand that God was going to fight that battle and they were going to win. Amen. Amen. Now that's an Old Testament example of what we call a proclaimed fast. When we don't know what we are going to do, we know that we need some things changed. We know that there's attacks from the enemy. And we know that without divine guidance and divine instruction from God, we're going to mess up or we're going to miss what God wants. I don't want to miss what God wants. Now, there's an example over in the New Testament. I'm just helping you understand the difference between this fast that we call a proclaimed fast versus a personal fast. Go to Acts chapter 13. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the Holy Ghost spoke and he spoke to them exactly what they needed? Isn't that good? Okay, now look here in Acts chapter 13. Have you got it? Have you got it? Okay. What's happening here? It says in verse 1 of Acts chapter 13. Now look at this, because here's a New Testament example. It says now in the what? In the church. Where are we at tonight? Church. Okay, we're in the church. Now we are the church, but we're in the church. Amen? Amen. that was at Antioch. So they were in a physical building in the city of Antioch. Now, what were they doing? It tells us that there were certain prophets there. It says there were teachers there. Barnabas was there. Simeon was there. And Lysias was there. And Manaen was there. And Saul and Barnabas. And they were just in the church, serving, doing everyday things in the church. Pentecost had come. Paul had his Damascus Road experience. He was still, you know, in a position to serve where God had placed him. It's very important just to do what God has called you to do where God has called you to do it. Okay? What happens next? As they what? Now, we'll get into this. As they ministered to the Lord and what? As they ministered to the Lord. Remember, and I don't have time to get into that aspect of it, but it's not just going without food. It's ministering to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord means that you worship Him. It means that you praise Him. It means that you delight yourself in the written word. You delight yourself in the law of the word or the word of God. And the Holy Spirit spoke again. Can you get a hold of this? They called the fast of the church and it said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Now here was an important instruction from the Holy Ghost who started the New Testament church in the first and second chapter of the book of Acts. Now He is making a proclamation statement because they fasted and prayed that they have now given instruction for a servant that is going to change the course of history. His name, and he wasn't even the Apostle Paul yet. But he was in a place where the church was fasting and praying. And because of that, he separated himself into the ministry that he called him to. And we have now what we call the New Testament Bible, about two-thirds of which is written from the Apostle Paul's pen through the Holy Ghost. Are y'all listening to this? Because a church called a solemn assembly because they set into that fast waiting to hear from God, and the Holy Ghost spoke something that would set into motion that would change the whole course of not just Christianity but the world. Are y'all here? See, we've got to get these things understanding. We can't be selfish in this. Now we're going to find out about the personal prayer, okay? But we need to see these. It's a kind of atmosphere, see? When you proclaim a fast, it gets everybody in one mindset. It gets everybody in one direction because it takes singleness of heart. It takes a single purpose. We cannot be divided when it comes to hearing God for direction for our church. It does not matter to me who God speaks to. All we want is God to speak. Amen. I said all we want is God to give us divine direction so we're not outside the will of God. Now you can read on there. They prayed and they laid hands. Boy, I could preach a whole hour on that. It's they fasted again and laid hands on Barnabas and Saul to send them off into the ministry that they were called. Instead of going down and eating two Whataburgers and an order of French fries and saying, "Okay, we're going to let you go out and minister." They were in prayer and fasting and they laid hands by the Holy Ghost and sent them out into where they were called to go. They didn't just, you know, and so many people, they just go. They just went. But you have to be sent. How are we sent? Well, we've got to hear from God. We've got to hear from God. Well, now let's go over here. Oh, man. Have I been preaching that long?
No.
That clock's not right. Thank you, Jesus. Go to Matthew. We may do this all month. I got other things, but I want to talk whatever God wants. But I know this. You need faith for your fast. Now let's see what, let's look at, remember I told you there was two kinds of fast as far as the general type. Just like there's different kinds of prayer. There's different types of fast. I don't know if you realize this or not. I was sharing this with Brother Marvin today. You know, there's only two people that we know of that went and have done a total fast. Total fast is where you don't put nothing in you. No water, no food. That was Moses. He went on a 40-day fast. And Jesus. But that was a supernatural fast. They were already in the presence of God. Now, you study the Bible, you study, and that's part of your handout that I give you. You study the parts of the Bible that deal specifically with people who fasted. You'll find out that many things happen just in 1 or 3 day fast. There were 10-day fasts. Daniel fasted 10 days and 21 days. And we know what the Spirit of God showed Daniel because he was obedient in his fast. He showed him how the world was going to come to naught. He showed us when the Messiah would go to the cross and be redeemed. Remember we taught all that last week? All that came to him because he fasted and set himself before God, and God gave that to him in a vision. God gave that to him in a dream. How many of you would like to see those great and mighty things come to pass in your life? See. Okay. So, There's the times that we're going to fast, and I put something very, very important, and I'll try to get to it here as I close in a minute, but I want you to understand, if you are not living a life of fasting and prayer, it will be difficult for you to do 21 days. It will be, okay? The more you do it as a lifestyle, just like getting used to going to church. Amen? Okay. So the point is that you've got to pray. You've got to see God. Because let's see what Jesus said here. Because Jesus taught us about prayer and fasting. You always see those terms going together. It's not just fast, okay? But it's got to be prayer with our fasting.
Amen.
In verse 16, Matthew chapter 6. Now look at this. It says, moreover, now what's the next word? What? When you fast. Now, what does that tell you? He didn't say if you fast. How many of you got that part? Now, he said when you fast. Now, who does that put the responsibility on? Oh, it puts the responsibility on you and I here. When you fast. He did not say if you would like to fast or when you think it's appropriate. He said, when you fast. Now, he's fixing to tell us something here, very important. Are you ready for this? He says, do not be like the hypocrites. Oh, so now there is a hypocritical way to fast. Just like a hypocritical way to give. Or a hypocritical way to pray. There's a hypocritical way to fast. Because of what a fast is designed to do. Now we're going to find out that the fast produces, if it's done non-hypocritical, it's designed by God to bring you a reward. So when you start, you know, when you start doing your personal fast, now we've proclaimed the fast in assembly. Okay? Now you're going to start looking at, that's why you got to learn this stuff so you can start claiming your reward before you go into the fast. Amen. You have to, I don't know if y'all got that yet or not. You got to look for the reward and not the punishment. Okay, I'm trying to help you. Okay? I'm trying to get this as simple as I can make it for you. Okay? Because fasting in the Old Testament is different than fasting in the New Testament. Now, you still go without food, but fasting in the Old Testament was done to punish yourself, to do penance. Fasting in the New Testament is not for punishment, but for reward. And not for penance, but for repentance. God couldn't deal with people in the old covenant through their heart. Their heart was not born again. He had to deal through them through the flesh. He deals with you and I through the Spirit. What does the fast do? The fast gets our flesh out of the way, so we can become sensitized in the Spirit to give God opportunity. See? Now, let's read here. Because what he's going to tell us here, if there's two levels of reward. One reward is going to come from men, or the other reward is going to come from God. Now, which do you want? Well, I think so. Anybody in their right mind would want what God's reward is, not the prestige of men. Oh, look at him. He's spiritual. He went 21 days. Look how skinny he's got. And you just eat all that stuff up. He says, don't you do like the hypocrites do, with a sad countenance. Don't come up here like you know, like you just, you know, man, you're so hungry you could eat a bear. Because you're going to get hungry. And without the grace of God, you need his help. He said, don't do it with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their face. You know what a disfigured face means? Y'all want Marvin to show you? I use that phrase, you know, like baptized in lemon juice. You know. For they appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, he goes on and tell you, he says, but when you fast, he says, anoint your head. Now, we understand that's anointing, right? That's anointing. He says, wash your face. Don't come in here, you know, with your hair not combed and stuff in your eyes, and they, oh man. Because he's telling you that's the hypocritical way of doing it, because you're trying to get sympathy for the pain that you're in from not eating. And you are taking it as a punishment rather than as a reward. Now look what he says. He says, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place And your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you openly. Or in other words, there's a reward that will manifest because you're not trying. Listen, you're not even trying to impress God. Amen. Do you think of God that he don't eat? You think he's impressed because you don't? But there's a lot of people, see, and Paul talked about this, their belly becomes their God. And there are people that would rather just eat and eat and eat and eat and die rather than to discipline themselves into a restricted income. Is that the right word? Intake. Right? He said, when we do it, now some people get that all bent out of shape and think, well, see there, you're not supposed to tell anybody you're fasting. Well, let me ask you something, dummy. I'm not talking to you, I'm just talking about the guy that asked that. How are you going to proclaim a fast in a solemn assembly and everybody doesn't know about it? See, but what we have to understand is that we don't fast for the benefit of men to see us. That's what he's talking about. We do this thing so that we don't appear to be fasting. We don't Sunday morning, we don't lay in bed and sleep late because we got a busted headache from all the withdrawals of all the sugar and all the caffeine and all the other junk we put in our body. You're working on your reward. You're working on what you can look like before men. Now, let me say this, and let me give this to you so you'll get it too, and then I'll have to kind of give you some other things here. The rewards for personal fasting are on two different levels. One is for the admiration of men, so they can say, oh man, aren't you, spiritual? And the other is for the open reward, remembering the results and the reward make the fast easier. Amen. Amen. When I go into the fast already with my reward, already what I have got from the Word of God, and we can read that again. We'll look at that in Isaiah 58 later. But we see what the rewards are. So that makes it easier to, if you want to use the word, go through the hunger pains. Because you will get hungry. You know why you get hungry? I mean, the first time you fast. Now, we can get into some detail again. When you start to fast, after about, say 12, 15, 16 hours, your body is going to go into what's called a starvation mode. It's going to start looking for something to eat. And you store up in your body little capsules like sugar and caffeine. That's why you have the headaches, because they're drugs and you're addicted to them. And you're having withdrawal symptoms. Don't look at me so spiritual. And your body starts using those things up. It starts burning. It's got to burn something for fuel. And once that's burned up, man, your head's screaming and your back of your neck's hurting and woo! Then you start saying, is this worth it? Or maybe I'll cheat, they won't know. And that's true. We won't know. But you'll bust your fast. If you bust your fast, don't expect your reward. Amen. Well, what do I do, Pastor? Start over. Are y'all with me? Okay. So let me give you this too. Fasting in the New Testament is not for chastisement. To chastise, and again, I got to take you through New Testament, Old Testament again, because the word chastise really means to instruct. Whom the Father loveth. Would you put up, Victor, let me give you the scripture, Hebrews 12:6, please, right quick. Because it says, whom the Father loves, he chasteneth. So the word chastisement in the New, did you see it there? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Now listen to this. The word chasten or chastisement in the New Testament means to instruct. Not to inflict, not to beat, not to whip, but to instruct. Now, how does God instruct you and I as New Testament believers? By His Word. We are washed by His Word. His Word is what instructs us. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. For what? For reproof, for correction. For instruction in righteousness. Are you with me? See, some people can't stand to be chastened, especially in church. Well, shame on them. How do they ever expect to be perfected? The Word of God is meant to come into our hearts to correct us, to instruct us. All those things. Are you with me? Amen. Now the word chasten in the old covenant means to inflict. Remember the scripture in Isaiah 53:5? He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of His peace was upon Him. Listen. That right there, it means repentance, sorry to the point of self-infliction or mourning. Now that's what the New Testament word repentance mean. And in Isaiah, the literal Hebrew of Isaiah 53:5 says, He bore our chastisement by punishment. Remember when He hung on the cross, He took our sin, every sin known to mankind. Every sickness, every disease was placed upon Him. The chastisement in the old covenant, if you go back and read Joel, if you go back and read in the Psalms where David fasted, what did they do? They put on sackcloth and ashes. Because they were doing it as a form of punishment. They didn't do it as a form of repentance. They did it to punish themselves for what they were in, whether it be their sin or their situation. If you don't get that, see, you'll miss the whole point of New Testament fasting. That's why you got to have some understanding here and get some illumination on this part of it, because punishment is not in the order of things for the New Testament family of God. Amen. God does not, take the big rod and whap us upside the head because we do something wrong. Now, let me stop there and give you what we got on the outline here so you get this instruction. Let me read one thing out of the book of Isaiah 58 again. Now, if you read and study your Bible, you're going to see that it starts about Isaiah 53, where I was talking about, then Isaiah 54. Isaiah 55, all the way up to Isaiah 58. He begins by saying, if you go to the first part of Isaiah 58, he says, you will not fast as you do this day. Now, did you catch that? In other words, the way we fast today is not the way they fasted then. Because they were fasting to endure and inflict the punishment. You read it every time you read. You go back there and it says, why have we fasted? They say, you have not seen. We have afflicted our souls. And you take notice. You take no notice. In other words, they did the penance. They put on the sackcloth. They put on the ashes. And they made the sacrifice of the penance. Okay? So all he's saying here, Isaiah is saying, now when you come to verse 6, he says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? In other words, this is the fast now that we will do because we are believers and we understand that it's not the fast, but it's faith in the fast. Remember the scripture, and Brother Martin read the scripture about they could not cast out the demon of the little boy. And they went to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast out this demon? And Jesus, he didn't say, because you didn't fast. He told them exactly why they couldn't do it. He told them exactly. He said, you can't do it because of your unbelief. Unbelief means lack of faith. So if I'm fasting and I'm hearing God, what's that going to produce? That's going to produce faith. Then he said, if you speak to that mountain, it will be removed. Amen. If you don't doubt in your heart and believe what you say. Amen. So we got to put all that in perspective because some people read that it was the fasting or prayer because he said this kind does not go out but by fasting and prayer. The reason it didn't go out is because disciples didn't have the illumination or the revelation. Jesus had already taught them in Luke 10:19 that they had power over all the power of the devil. And he said that the devils were subject to their name. But they didn't get it. They didn't pay attention. They weren't in the mindset to receive what Jesus had already taught them. So they couldn't fulfill the plan or the will of God. And Jesus had to come back and say, well, you're going to have to get the unbelief out. How are you going to get the unbelief out? It's going to take prayer and fasting for you. Because your mind is not on God. Your mind is on something else. You don't come here with the mindset, God, what do you have for me today? What do you have for my life? What do you have for my business? What do you have for me this year? We're thinking about what we're going to eat at noon. Or we get together a little bit down at McDonald's. See, this gets serious because this stuff is for the serious believer. Oh, we'd have a whole lot more people in church if we weren't serious. If we didn't preach the pure, unadulterated word. You understand the devil does not like the word. And I'm going to tell you something. Your flesh is not going to like to fast. But without faith and the commitment to that fast, you will falter in it because you won't be looking for the reward. He tells you here what the reward is. He says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? And we'll look at this later. But to loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. That to me sounds like the anointing. Sounds like it does the same thing that the anointing does. So if I can have the anointing flowing, hey, I'm going to be able to undo some heavy things, lift burdens, destroy yokes. It says that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Now, here's something we hadn't thought about. What about all the money you're going to save by not eating?
Amen.
What are you going to do with it?
Give it to God.
Well, How much money you spend on groceries? Say a lot. Well, maybe you ought to take that grocery money and let's feed a few kids with it. You see? And the same thing, it goes on, how about naked? That you cover. And maybe you got two coats. How many of you got one that's not very good? Well, give it. That's all you got. And believe God for the reward. See, you might give an old Kmart Blue Light Special $5.99 jacket. And God wants to reward you with a designer $5,000 one. That's not a bad trade-off. Are y'all here? See, this is what he's talking about, okay? Is this not the fast that I've chosen? And he goes on to talk about, and your light shall spring forth in the morning. What does that mean? That means revelation. The entrance of his word brings what? Light. Instead of just sitting in church and going, what did you say? Wouldn't it be better to have the lights come on? You know why? Because God wants you to be able to minister to others. Some people get mad because they can't get up here and minister in the church. Well, start ministering to others first. Start using what you got on the inside of you. Well, I don't know what I got on the inside of me. That's why you got to get with God. See? He said, and you're healing. Oh, man. How many people are in the condition they're in because their God, and I know this don't sound good, but their God is their belly. Just name a disease. Name something. Why are people so diabetic? And you know diabetes is not something to laugh at, is it? If people get amputated, cut things off because it gets rotten, it gets gangrene. That's no fun. High blood pressure. Why? Because you haven't learned to be a disciple of Christ. Amen. Disciple means a disciplined life. When you fast and pray, you ain't going to get too fat. Notice I said too fat. It's not nice to call anybody fat. And I'm not calling anybody fat. I'm just saying the New Testament church began itself with fasting and prayer. It was part of their corporate worship. It was part of their lifestyle. So I just say all these things to you because when you fast as a congregation, you can fast to set the whole congregation free of Satan's oppression. Amen. Don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to help us get free. Amen. Yes. Get in the direction God wants us to go. I'm not here to play church. I'm not here to try to just please man. I'm here to please God. Amen. Amen. When God gets through with me, he can flick me off. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. He's God. But while he's here, Let's do our best to hear from him and be obedient to do his will because there's spiritual rewards, okay? He will reveal these things to us in his word. Now, look at your sheet right quick because we gotta stop this tonight. But look at your sheet and let me give you this, go over it with you quickly, and then I'm gonna pray about whether to continue this because really it's stuff again that we need to build in our spirit man the faith in order to do these things. If you have that sheet, look at it just a moment. Now, I put the theme of the fast. Now, really, what we have said that the theme of our fast is fasting and praying, and it tells you there, your goal in fasting is so that you can become closer to God by voluntarily denying the demands of your flesh. You increase your prayer life during this time. Don't shut it down. Don't decrease, but increase. Some of you don't have to increase much to increase. Okay? And when the fast is over, see, you should have a new spiritual strength from overcoming the cravings that usually control your life and from dedicating yourself to God. That's really where we miss it, right? Every failure that we face in life is a prayer failure. The biblical methods. You know, if it's not in the Word of God, we don't want to do it. We're not looking to get a reward from man. We're not looking to do it in tradition. If we kept reading Isaiah, it's to break the structure of tradition. Jesus told us that it's the tradition of the church that makes the Word of God of no effect. So we don't want to just, you know, do things to be religious and to let our family, our friends, or whatever, you know, think we're a spiritual man because we can go without food for a day or whatever. Now, following your own conscience. Praise God. And notice again, I put the... Let me have that water. I go for months at a time, never need a drink, and now I need a drink. Pardon me while I have a drink.
Amen.
Thank you. Y'all want some? It's between you and God. We're not going to put a sign-up sheet. I don't want to cause you to lie. Well, it's between you and God. Whether you do 21 days, Daniel fast, whether you do one day, whether you do one meal, it's between you and God. It's a spiritual thing. Now, if you want to get all the benefits of it, then I would encourage you and will coach you to do the 21-day Daniel fast. Now, even in the Daniel fast, I'll just tell you myself, and I'm not saying this to brag, I'm going to do some regular fasting along with the Daniel fast. Amen. Because I'm looking for some rewards. I don't know what you're looking for, but I'm looking for some rewards. Because I'm fed up with some things. Accountability and support groups. Here's another thing for you, is find you a partner in this. It could be a group of you, four or five of you, but at least try to find one person that you can, you know, kind of encourage one another. Because I'm telling you, if you hadn't done this, it's going to be tough. Okay, I don't want to make it light. I don't want to make it seem like this is easy, okay? And if you don't keep your eye on the reward, you'll cave in to the pressure of the hunger and the suffering or the pain. See, and you'll start looking at the punishment instead of the reward. That's why I made all that speech to you about that. Restricting your television entertainment. You're going to have to cut some things, okay, that take your mind off of God, because the whole idea of this thing is to get your mindset with God. I didn't say you cut it all out. I said you're going to have to, you know how much you watch. You know how much stuff you play and all that, you know, Wi-Fi or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Overview of the fast. The Daniel fast drastically restricts normal food intake by cutting away many of the foods you commonly eat to satisfy your appetite. Very little stuff on this thing I like. I don't know about you. I'm not a rabbit or a billy goat. During the Daniel fast, there will be a sense of hunger much of the time. Now, if you go on a total fast, or when I say total fast, I mean water only, maybe some juice. After about 3-4 days, you won't be hungry too much. After you go through all the withdrawals, and you can go for a pretty good time if you drink a lot of water, and you won't be too hungry. But if you go on the Daniel fast, there's always going to be a little bit of the craving of the hunger because you're putting in a little bit of stuff in there every day. But just a little bit. Like one meal. And don't put three meals into one. You're not the hoard up, okay? You're not chipmunks. Restrict yourself to one meal, but you still leave that hunger, okay? And then the types of foods, I put on here to help you, okay? The type of foods included in this fast, and it goes through there and pretty, you know, much, you can see that there. Just make sure that the most important thing there is that you cut out the sugar, anything made with sugar, sugar products, you know, desserts, cakes, pies, Cokes, soft drinks, all the caffeine drinks, coffee, tea, etc. And the other important thing is you need to drink lots of agua, mucha agua, bastante agua. You know how much 8 glasses is a day? That's one of them gallon milk jugs. It'd be best you just fill it up with water, and by before you go to bed, make sure you at least drink that. And then get prepared because you'll be up at night liquidating. I'm just trying to be honest with you, okay? Y'all want me to be honest? So make sure it's good water. Don't get it out of the canal. You know, don't try to use some good water. It's important because that's what's flushing you out, okay? And that's what's detoxifying, as we've already discovered. Okay, now I put on here the side effects. I know Marvin told you about them, but I don't want to hide this from you, okay? You're going to experience moderate to severe headaches the first day, just depending on how much junk you eat. I prepare myself. I started since, when did we eat that last thing? New Year's Eve? I hadn't had any sugar since, and today I already started getting withdrawals. Right now I got some withdrawals. If I act angry, it's because I feel like I got a gorilla grabbing me by the neck. And I knew better. Because, listen, once you get that stuff out of your body, you quit craving it. But you ever start putting it back in there again, you're right back in the same boat. Yeah, oh man. So, you'll experience these headaches, and you know, don't get spiritual and think, well, you know, you don't take an aspirin or buff. I mean, you'll pray, but you know, it may be throbbing so much you can't function, so you got to use some help there, okay? And then the 8 glasses of water. And now I did put on here because I understand, and I think, again, it's wisdom. This is why we don't tell anybody they must do this. Everybody knows their condition. But I will tell you this. If you're just semi-healthy, missing a day or two of food is not going to kill you.
Amen.
If you're just half healthy, it ain't going to hurt you to miss a couple of days of food. Now, if you're not healthy, then you're going to have to consult with somebody who can help you in that. Because you know what it is. And some of you may do, I don't know, some of you may do real physical things, labor. And so, you know, you just got to use wisdom. But then again, look for what you can do. Don't try to make excuses for what you can't do. And everybody knows their own situation, right? Because this is between God and us and God. Amen. Is that all right?
Yes.
Now I may give you some more. Okay, we'll see. We'll help you all we can. And probably some of you still got questions. But let's all stand up because we're due tonight. We're out of time. Now Marvin is going. Marvin said he wants to meet at 10 o'clock Saturday. He can answer some questions for those. Now we've proclaimed the fast. We've said we're going to, the proclaimed fast begins January the 5th. That's Saturday. Okay, and it's going to go to January the 25th. If you count it, that's 21 days, okay? Now, we've got a youth conference in there, and we've got... many things that we need instruction. We're not fasting, you know, to get God to do something. We got to claim our reward. We want souls. We want spiritual growth. We want finances. We want all that. And God's not holding back anything, is He? He's not. He said He rewards you openly. Praise God. So right, 10 o'clock for all those that... Yeah. Why don't you just get up here and you just pray. You can close us out. Put it on there so they can interpret it and can hear you. Thank you, Jesus. You got one?
Okay. First of all, let me tell you, I believe that we all can do this. As you can tell, I'm not a very big person. And if I can do it, you can do it. I believe you can do it. Now, these are the instructions. On Saturday, what I would like for everybody to do is just get a sheet of paper, 2 sheets, 10 sheets, a book, and start writing by faith. What is it that you want God to direct you, to help you, to release you? You know what? We're not doing this for God to do something. We're doing this to get the devil out of our things. Amen. We're not doing this so God can give us something. No, we're doing this so the devil can get his hands of what belongs to us. Amen. So these are the instructions. On Saturday, just write it on a piece of paper. Put it in an envelope. Seal it. Tape it. Duct tape it. If you don't want nobody to know, bring it. And what we're going to do here at 10 a.m., we're going to all together, whoever comes, you know, it's optional if you want to come with us. And we're going to give the fast to God.
Yes.
We're going to give the fast to God. I believe when God gets involved, you can do anything.
Amen.
I've gone many days without food. But the first thing I always do is like, God, I can't do it, but you can. And I've never had any problems. So, Saturday, if you're willing, come. Amen? Praise God. Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, let's pray. Let's just lift our hands to the heavens. And I will ask you to do this as you think about this and pray about it between now and Saturday. Don't just go into it blindly. That's why we're taking the time tonight teaching these things to you. Go to the Lord, and then you make that commitment to God. If you can only fast a day, then make that commitment, okay? And then recommit. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to go 21 days without you making that commitment to the Lord. You understand what I just said? Ask God. And then ask God for the grace to help us. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we're entering into a month of prayer and fasting and worship. We are looking for our rewards. We are looking, God, for you to openly manifest your presence in our church. Lord, we need divine guidance. We need breakthroughs in the heavenlies. We're tired of the enemy surrounding us and harassing us and choking the life out of your people. Father, we're ready for that anointing to be manifested strong and powerful and mighty in this place. And God, your people now, as they make that decision, not if, but when, and God, you give them the strength. Give them, Lord, what they need. In their own understanding, in their level of their faith, God, let them see that it is the reward, it is the benefit more than anything they'll endure through the flesh that would try to rebel and stop them from receiving your best. So in Jesus' name, I speak over every one of you that by the grace of Almighty God, you can be everything God called you to be and do everything God called you to do. In the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said amen.